11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch starts now. And I'm just going to put it out there. I have tried not to make too big of a deal about being at practice every day. But I kind of let the sounds of practice tell the story. And you hear the training camp horn. Well, I don't know if you guys can hear this if I stop talking. But it is pouring. Like raining cats and dogs, I'm standing in a poodle pouring. And Brian, they are still outside.
Yeah, I can hear that. That is that's a heavy rain right there.
Sounds like sizzling bacon.
So I guess let me start the 11 o'clock hour with this question. In your 10 years here and 2 in Los Angeles, how many times? Now, there's no lightning, no thunder at this point. But like all these guys, like this looks like a football wet t-shirt contest. All the guys that are on offense in their white jerseys, you can see the pads right through them. Like it is downpouring here. Did you practice? I'm trying to rack my memory banks. Like I don't remember you guys practicing through like torrential rains at any point during your career. Am I misremembering? Am I forgetting a time where you were getting soaked and blocking Julius Peppers in practice?
No. Whenever it was a heavy rain, we went right inside of the indoor. McCarthy did not even want to risk anyone slipping or getting hurt, and that was the way Ted Thompson always believed it as well. Go inside and you know, get good footing and do that. So I'm actually surprised that they're staying outside right now. And the grounds crew never wanted to get, especially this early in camp, beat up a field right off the get-go this early in camp. So I'm surprised, very surprised.
Not as surprised as me, because as I was walking down here, I just assumed, okay, I've got my little poncho, I've got my 1996 NCAA Hockey Frozen Four championship umbrella that I keep in my car, which very rarely gets used. I thought, all right, well, I'll walk down to practice and then we'll be inside the Hudson Center. Nope. They are going at it in the rain. I'm at the offensive end of the field, and they are all going through their individual drill work. Jacob Eason is here getting snaps at quarterback. So they are pushing through the practice. Now, Brian, I would ask you this. You guys play in rain, right? This is you play in the elements. So I always thought, and again, you know me, I am a helicopter parent to the girls. I am a helicopter beat writer to the quarterback and to players. I'm Mr. High Side of Caution, as Mike McCarthy used to say. Is there any value, if we're playing devil's advocate, to being out here in the rain at practice and getting where, I mean, the idea of dunking the ball for ball security drills in a bucket of water. By the way, Jordan Love is shaking out his dry fit t-shirt that he's wearing because he's out here watching, even in the pouring rain. But he's mm-hmm. like wringing it out, trying to get the water out of it because he's not practicing. So he is shaking it, trying to get some of the rain off of him. Is there any value in preparing for wet weather conditions by practicing under these circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, I think in season there is. That's a big reason why we're very fortunate to have the practice facilities that we do in Green Bay, because they're able to clear off the fields and we practice in the cold and the snowy and frozen type field conditions. And even in the rain, if we knew there's a high chance of rain on Sunday, we would go out in the rain and practice in it. But this early in camp right away, I don't think there's much benefit to preparing guys for rain games right now. I don't know the purpose, but obviously, you know, Coach LaFleur believes there's a good reason for it. So that's what they're going to do. And you know, the footwear guys choose to wear on grass with rain is way mm-hmm. different than the footwear they would be wearing on the turf right now. So if they do go inside, guys will not have the proper footwear to change into to practice on turf compared to grass.
All right, last question here, since this is not a meteorological show, this is a football show.
It's more of a meteorological show than many would think.
That's fair. That's very fair. Tausch always railing against the challenges of the weather forecasters. But because we're out here, because you know what my job is, right? And that is, if something goes wrong, I'm here to second guess you. That's why they pay me the small bucks. Like, if for some reason something happens when you choose to stay out here, you know, when you make this decision that you are going to be second guessed. If one of your guys, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm kind of like James Campen. I'm not going to use anybody as an example. He used to love to say, you know, not if somebody gets injured, if somebody breaks a chin strap or breaks a shoelace, yep, and they have to go out. Right.
Yep.
But I'm watching wide receivers running routes on air. And by the way, the rain is now getting harder again. My shoes are soaked through. It's really uncomfortable to be standing in these conditions. but Brian, in all seriousness, if something happens, you know that we're going to get after them, right? You know we're going to say, hey, what were you doing? Why did you stay out there? So is that just something that I'm not asking you to speak for Matt LaFleur, but I'm asking in terms of someone who's been in the league, if you're a coach, what are you saying if something happens to one of your guys because you chose to keep practicing through a monsoon?
First of all, I'd be sick to my stomach that I could have simply just said, hey, we're going to go inside today and mitigate that risk. But I think the company line would be like, you know, we thought this would be a good opportunity to get guys reps in wet conditions early on. And unfortunately, X, Y, and a shoelace broke and... you know, we're hoping it's not serious. That's essentially would be the way it would go. And I know that if something did happen, and especially to somebody of great importance, that Goody and LaFleur would be sick to their stomach. So let's hope that nothing happens. And it could be something as easy as a guy running a route on air goes to make a break and slides out and pulls a groin or a hamstring or something very simple, you know, not like, oh, the guys were blocking each other and someone's foot slid out from blocking and he hurt his, you know, knee or something. It could just be something as simple as routes on air. So I'm shocked that they're not inside. That's very surprising to me.
Well, we will. I see Christian Watson lining up to run the route. I am crossing my fingers that he completes the route safe and healthy and happy. That ball was behind him, and he stumbled a little bit trying to catch it, and it's incomplete. We will continue. Seriously, it's raining. I didn't think it was possible for it to be raining harder so I was walking down here, and it is definitely raining harder. Jordan Love looking like a pretty smart guy standing out. He's got himself a moisture wicking hoodie on now as he watches practice alongside Matt LaFleur. These conditions would tell me that he made the right decision on not participating until he gets his contract. We'll talk more about the Packers as day two of training camp rolls on. Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Peter Gabriel once sang, the rain keeps pouring down all over me. Live from a monsoon, the Packers continue to practice more routes on air. Jacob Eason has joined the quarterback group. Jordan Love continuing to watch as he awaits his new contract with this team. Again, they do not have, without Jordan, they don't have enough quarterbacks. So Sean Mannion, recently retired and now on the Packers coaching staff, is the fourth thrower of the football during drills. All right, Brian, we'll talk real football here and not meteorology in a second, but I do have to ask, when you look back on your career, you know, we talked about how this is a very rare occurrence for a practice, but what do you remember as the absolute worst conditions? It can be cold, it can be heat, it can be precipitation. Certainly you played your fair share of games at Soldier Field, so we know you spent a good portion of your career playing on crappy surfaces. But when it comes to weather, what's the worst you ever had to play through as guys continue? They just did four guys catching balls, and three of the four dropped them because it's raining that hard. Worst conditions for you, Brian.
Yeah, I think I'll go to the two extremes. I think in 2016, at the end of the season, we played in Chicago at Soldier Field, and I think the kickoff temperature was, the actual temperature was like negative one, and then with the wind chill, it was like negative 17. That was very cold. I remember warming up in the shadows of Soldier Field, and I was like, this is absurd. Like, this is very cold. Like, I'm okay with cold, but this is very cold. And once we started playing, it was all right. But, man, it was the way helmets sound and feel hitting each other full speed in that temperature, it doesn't feel great, and it sounds really weird. I will say that. And then to the other extreme, in 2014, we went down to Miami and played the Dolphins in Hard Rock. Mm-hmm. And I swear at kickoff, it felt like 110 on that field. And in that game, we ran 96 offensive plays. It felt so bad. I don't think I stopped sweating until I got back home in Green Bay and I sat on my couch. Once we got back, I was sweating profusely from the time I got on the airplane to the time we landed in Green Bay and I got home. It was absolutely miserable. That was the game that, you know, Aaron did the fake spike out to Jordy or Devontae, I forgot who it was, for the first down. Then mm-hmm. Andrew Corliss in the corner of the end zone for the game winner as time expired when Joe Philbin was the coach of the Dolphins. That was the hottest game I've ever played, and it was miserable. It was absolutely miserable.
A few years before you got here, they played in Chicago, and it was the last year of Brett Favre in 2007. And it was like that, except the wind off of the lake, the wind chill was like minus 40. And he looked as miserable as anyone I've ever seen. Like, the other 10 guys would be on the field in the huddle, and Favre would not come off the sideline and take his heavy coat off until he absolutely had to go out there. And that was when, I've told people this for years, that was when I knew it was over, because he had been invincible in cold weather, and they got beat like 37-6 or something that day. And it was, all right, he's reached that point, which we all reach, right? I mean, you live in Florida for a good reason, because you could have stayed in the Midwest. You're a Midwestern kid, grew up in Chicagoland, went to Iowa, played in Wisconsin, but you don't want to live through the winters when you don't have to. And he just looked like a guy that was like, look, I might have been great in cold weather once upon a time, but I don't want to be out here anymore. And sure enough, when they lost that NFC championship game in the bitter cold, that was the end of the Brett Favre era. All right, we're looks like we're getting into some 11-on-11 at the far end of the field. I know we will see the kickers coming out here. Matt LaFleur said before practice, Brian, so yesterday it was James Turner, the former Lions kicker, who they picked up when the Lions cut him to make room for the UFL kicker that they signed, Jake Bates, who was the best kicker in the UFL this spring. But LaFleur said that they will have at least one kicker kick every day. It looks like today they're going to have two. They're going to have Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph. And I know kicker is almost as sexy as playing right tackle, But the fact of the matter is that this is, if there are battles in camp, you know, I think Javon Bullard is going to start at safety alongside Xavier McKinney. I don't think that's a battle, even though he is certainly taking a competitive approach to winning and earning the job. The left tackle competition, sure. Jordan Morgan is in a legitimate competition, but as we talked about earlier in the show, Rashid Walker was the first one out there, and I think that's going to continue until Jordan Morgan proves that he deserves to be out there sometimes with the first rep with the ones. But this kicker competition, and it's one of the easy, even a dolt like me can tell the difference, right? I can see, did the ball go through their uprights or not? I might not be able to discern if Sean Ryan is better than John Runyon. That's your job. That's why we have you. But that the kicking job is a pretty cut and dried, results-based, either made it or you missed it. Is this something that, you know, you'll be picking my brain on a regular basis when we talk throughout camp about where things are? Because, again, Anders Carlson is not, this is not going through the motions for Anders Carlson. This is legit competition, and it's a three-way competition right now.
Yeah, no, this is something that I'm very intrigued about, and I thought I saw, maybe it was you or someone else tweeted that LaFleur said that the kid yesterday went 4 for 6 and then these two guys are kicking today. This is a legit competition, and I'll tell you this much, this is good for these guys to kick in these conditions, because while we may think it's not good for guys to be practicing in it, it is good for these kickers to be kicking in this weather, because this is a good mental test for them to see who can handle these types of conditions, kicking the football. So this will be interesting to see how these guys do with this weather. You know, slick ground, heavy rain. This is something to pay attention to, not just today, but like you said, throughout camp, because this is, to me, a legit competition. Like, they are not settled on Carlson at all. This is going to come down to probably the last preseason game on which direction they go. And, you know, they brought in a veteran. Obviously, they brought the kid in from the Lions to compete against Carlson. So let the competition begin. And I'm excited to see which way it goes, because I don't think Green Bay is playing favorites in this over a draft pick. They want the guy that's going to put it through the uprights.
And Carlson, they're just kicking just the kickers and the specialists together at the this end of the reigning field. And Carlson just put it off the left upright. I'm curious, just because of your experience, Mason was here the whole time you were here. There was the 1 year after 2012 when he had not kicked well that they brought in Giorgio Tavecchio, who I love to tell that story because it was such a legitimate competition that Mike McCarthy didn't even know his first name, and he called him Sergio, not Giorgio.
Yeah.
which told you about that, and this is obviously different, but is there just something about for you guys? I mean, you were on the field, you know, the example that I love to give is the game winner in Dallas when Rodgers makes the throw to Cook to get him in field goal range, and then not only does Mason have to make that kick to win it, he actually has to make it twice because Jason Garrett calls that timeout at the last possible second. And him putting it through the uprights with Brett Goode on the long snap, I mean, that was probably one of the most memorable games I've ever covered. Is it just different when you have a guy like you had during your career with Mason where you just know, hey, it's going to be shocking if the ball doesn't go between the pipes?
Yeah, it was a very good feeling. Obviously, I mean, you noted it. He had his struggles in 2012. And I mean, I think everybody on the team was absolutely gutted for him with how he was kicking. And it's like a golfer, he developed the shanks, and it's hard to get rid of that when you develop that. That's not in a golf swing, but as a kicker and doing it for real, not just as a Sunday golfer, you know, with your buddies. So, we felt bad for him, but I can honestly say that every time we rolled out there for a field goal, I felt really good that it was going to go through. Now, obviously, you start getting into the 55, 56, 57-yard range, it could go either way, right? Like, you just, I mean, that's a long kick. But we always felt really good bringing Mason out to kick a field goal. I mean, if it didn't go in, I'd be, like you said, I'd be really shocked. And he was so reliable. And, you know, that kick against Dallas, I mean, I can remember watching it go through the air. And it made like two different turns throughout the air before it finally went through. And I remember, like, it started to turn left, and I was like, oh, no. And then it cut back right and then kind of strained out back left again and went through. And it was such a cool moment, kind of cool view that I had to watch it. Listen, kickers are they're a different breed of guy. Obviously, all the specialists hang together. But it's really good when you got one you can rely on. And you know that you bring them out and there's a very high possibility that you're getting 3 points out of it. And that's kind of where Green Bay is right now, trying to figure out which guy can they roll out there. And it's going to be nothing's automatic, but pretty close to being an automatic 3 points or 1 point for an extra point every time you roll them out. And that's why this competition's very, very interesting and very, real for the Green Bay Packers right now.
And I should probably take it back from earlier about my competition, because with the number one defense, it's Evan Williams, the fourth round pick from Oregon, getting first team reps today alongside Xavier McKinney. Uh-huh. So maybe not the foregone conclusion that I made it sound like, although I think in the end it's still more likely than not that Javon Bullard is the guy. All right, we will continue. The rain is lessening but not stopping as the Packers continue their second practice of training camp. Brian was talking about that win in Dallas in the 2016 playoffs. I'm guessing that at some point there were some Coors Lights enjoyed in celebration. And we know Tausch doesn't need any special reason to celebrate to bring out his Coors Lights. We'll hear from him on his favorite beer, and we'll get to Woe Nelly with Jesse and Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're on vacation, relaxing in the summer heat, or just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like yes, I know, but I know one thing, that I love you.
It hasn't quite stopped, but it's almost stopped here at Ray Nitschke Field. Anders Carlson has made his first three kicks. Good sign for the incumbent. Time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
Anders Carlson making his first three kicks is the best news for an incumbent all week. Am I right?
Woe Nelly! Way to go, Jesse.
sorry, couldn't help myself. Some Olympics-inspired topics for Woe Nelly today, starting with former Green Bay Packers safety Jonathan Owens, currently a member of the Chicago Bears. He has been excused for 7 training camp practices to go cheer on his wife, Simone Biles. What's up, training camp horn? In Paris for the 2024 Olympics. Head coach Matt Eberflus sharing that news with the media yesterday. Brian Bulaga, is it good news or bad news if a team is allowing you to miss 7 training camp practices when you might be a fringe player competing for a roster spot?
By the way, you guys should see Tim Van Voren right now. Tim Van Voren looks, his daughter is a diver at the collegiate level. He looks like he has just spent the last hour and a half in the pool. He looks amazing. Just for the record, you look incredible. Brian Balaga says hello, by the way.
Hello back. He's the best.
I'm sorry, Brian. Now you can answer your question.
Yeah. So I don't understand 7 days. Like, I mean, I don't know how many days the gymnastics portion is. I would imagine, what is it, 2 days?
Oh, there's a bunch of events. She competes in all kinds of different things.
But is it over a 7 day span?
Like, is he gone for an entire week straight, is what you're asking?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, there's no way she competes for 7 straight days.
She definitely doesn't.
From Courtney
Cronin.
It's
in Paris.
From Bears reporter Courtney Cronin of ESPN, Owens has excused absences July 29th to August 3rd and is expected to be back at practice August 4th. Women's gymnastics qualifying begins July 28th, where Simone Biles contends for 4 events.
Yeah, I don't know about the 7 days. I think that's a little excessive, but hey, it's good PR for the Bears, obviously. You know, her husband is on the Bears team. It's good PR for the Bears. They got to love it. And then it looks really bad if they don't allow him to go watch his Olympic wife compete in gymnastics in Paris. So, like, I guess it's a win-win for the Bears, but I guess for him, he's competing for a roster spot, so I don't know if it's a win-win for him.
So that is going to be my follow-up, Brian. And by the way, Evan Williams with an interception of Sean Clifford on a pass there. So a big moment for the rookie from Oregon as he competes for the starting job alongside Xavier McKinney. The rain has officially stopped, it would appear, here at practice as we get into some 11-on-11. So, two-part question, Brian. First of all, knowing your lovely wife, Abby, she's an amazing woman, was not an Olympian, however. That is not on her resume.
Correct.
If Abby is Simone Biles-esque, is this not a question of where your standing is with the team that governs maybe how much you are willing or not willing to miss practice-wise? Like, I'm looking at Jonathan Owens, and, you know, he came here on a one-year deal last year. The year before that, he started for the Texans, but the Texans didn't re-sign him. Now he's trying to catch on with the Bears. Like, I am all about supporting the people we love. You know that. But he's fighting for a roster spot. Is there a difference between, say, entrenched starting right tackle Brian Bulaga going to Paris for a week to support Abby in the equestrian versus him going to Paris for Simone Biles, who, and again, I'm glad he's there. I'm just wondering if that long of a span raises your eyebrows because of where he's at competing for a roster spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think the company line will tell you, no, it doesn't matter. But in reality, yes, it does matter. Entrenched starters say, I would have asked Coach McCarthy, I'd like to go watch my wife compete for the Olympics. Chances are they would say yes. They may not agree to a week. That may not have been the time limit that I got that I could miss a full week, but I think they would be more than willing to let me go, and it would be fine. I'd come back. I'd start practice over again. But for a fringe player, of course they're going to tell him you can go, but I don't know how much that impacts him positively with making the team. I don't know if that's going to help him at all.
And in fairness, he may win a starting job. I'm not saying he can't. And again, I just wonder if there was a half measure there that might have helped his chances of his own sports career a little bit more. But again, Simone Biles, presumably her final Olympics, obviously did not have things go particularly well in 2021. So good that he is there to support her. All right, Jesse, you got one more.
Whoa, Nelly!
I hope Jonathan Owens is the starter for the Chicago Bears in safety. It would probably be a good thing for the Packers.
Listen to you.
LeBron James is the flag bearer for the United States Olympians for the opening ceremonies in Paris this Friday. A conversation in our office among the producers who were here yesterday. Do you believe that LeBron being announced as the flag bearer for Team USA is the start of what will become his very publicized farewell tour as a professional athlete?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, I mean, I think LeBron James can play as long as he wants because I think a team will give him a job for as long as he wants. But, yeah, I think this is the start of the farewell tour. He got his son on the same team. He's obviously, will be his last Olympic Games. So, yeah, this is the start of it. I mean, obviously one of the greatest to ever play. I will not say GOAT because that belongs to Michael Jordan. But... heck of a career, and yeah, this would be the hopefully they can get it done. They have not been playing well in their exhibition games, so hopefully they can get it done, and this is another feather in the cap for LeBron James.
How do we feel about farewell tours for players that you know they're playing their final season and they get to go on that farewell? How do we, what in a general sense, not any specific player, are we pro or con on that?
I don't mind it, especially okay. If they're
I don't either, by the way,
if they're a legendary player, like obviously like a LeBron James or whoever it may
Kareem.
Be I don't think anyone minds it. And listen, LeBron James, I don't pay attention to basketball much, but he's still one of the best players in the world, so like to me, it still completely makes sense that he's able to do that, and he still plays at a very high level. So, I'm good with it. I'm fine with him being the flag bearer. I don't know. Maybe there's some other people who are probably that could have gotten that honor. I don't know. But it is what it is.
And, Simone Biles,
you know,
Abby Bulaga.
I mean, Katie Ledecky, you know, she might have been a good person to do that. But again, what do I know? What do I know? What do you know?
Diana Taurasi?
No.
Caitlin Clark? Oh, wait, no. Never mind.
not Caitlin Clark, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I'm good with it. You're right. I think it is the start of the farewell tour for LeBron.
All right, that's it for Woe Nelly. That is also it for the rain. This is, I don't know how long this break in the storm will last because there are lots of dark clouds pretty much all around us. So we will see the Packers schedule to go right up till about noon here. Evan Williams having a good practice again. Some slippery conditions. I don't know how that's factored in, but a couple of interceptions now thrown by Sean Clifford during that 11-on-11 period. We'll talk more about where the Packers stand on day two of training camp as we roll on with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, it's Evan Cohen. Coming up Wednesday, what should Bears fans expect from Caleb Williams? We'll ask his former head coach, Lincoln Riley, when he joins us at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's on Sportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Special teams period going on here at Packers practice, punt return period, while the quarterbacks work on some footwork drills. Again, Jordan Love continuing his, I don't even like to call it a hold in, because he's taken part in everything except the actual practices, but he is here. He may have been wise enough to go in amid the rain during this period, which of course the rain is restarting now, so we weren't going to make it all the way to the end of practice without more showers coming through. No, there's Jordan. He's still got his hoodie on. I'm sure he's enjoying this just as much as I am. Brian, I did want to get to one other thing, and we kind of touched on it, and I want to get your insight before we go. You know, I said there's the horn for that period. I said this about the safety competition, and I think it's important to point this out that nobody thinks the way I just did, right? Oh, it's Javon Bullard's job. Those guys that are in the fight are saying, I don't care where he was drafted. I'm going to beat him out. And I'm curious, from your recollections as a rookie, was that your approach when you got to camp and you saw old T before you became fast friends with him? Like, were you thinking, all right, doesn't matter if this guy's going into year 11. I'm gonna fight to start right away. Like, what is the player mentality in a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously my position with Tausch and Cliffy being there was, yeah, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to compete and try to earn a starting job. But you have to respect the veteran and the elder statesmen that are there that will probably win that job over you, regardless of if you have a great camp or not. You just kind of have to accept that. But my mentality was, hey, I'm going to go try to make a case for myself to be a starter in this league and play as well as I can and perform as well as I can with still having the respect for the guys that have been playing a long time in front of you that are high level players and you know, have been doing it forever. So it's different than what these two guys are going through. They're both rookies. They're competing for one job.
Right.
Yes, they can respect each other and, you know, become friends and all that. But at the end of the day, it's one of you two. This job's up for grabs, and whoever comes out of this thing, the, you know, training camp the best is going to win this job. So this is a heated battle, right? And I get they're two rookies learning on the fly, learning, you know, how to play in the NFL while learning a new scheme. But it's results based. So whoever pumps out the best results, fourth round, second round pick, I don't think that matters much in this situation. It's going to be the guy that performs the best.
Real quick before we run out of show, it's different than what you faced as a rookie because, like I said, Tausch was an old guy who had established himself. Is that one of the benefits of what they're doing, is that there's just so many young guys that are all competing with each other? There is no deferring to the old guy. There's not that many old guys to defer to around here.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's kind of part of this program that Goody's building is very young. While there's negatives that with inexperience, there's also lots of opportunities for guys to step up and kind of shine through being behind a veteran that's making a lot of money, that's not going to be moved out of his position just because a young rookie or first-year player has a good camp. And that's the opportunity that presents a lot of guys on this team is they have opportunities to shine and show the type of player they are and maybe not win the job outright, but earn a lot of reps on game day, which then leads to earning a starting job. So it's kind of the culture right now in Green Bay where it's everybody has an opportunity to win a job, and it's you got to go earn it and take it.
As number 75 jogs past me, not Brian Bulaga, but Sean Ryan, we wrap up the show today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who came along for the ride. Thanks to Brian for being our cousin sub of the day. And thanks to you. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.